Is Red Bull the biggest threat to Red Bull? Will Lewis's time at Mercedes end with a bang or with a whimper? Welcome to Season 2 of the podcast Nobody Asked For, Tinfoil Helmets, your occasional spicy hot take roundup of the latest F1 rumors, all with the almost believable conspiracy theories to back them up. Everything here has been carefully researched for weeks, not just hours, to make sure it has been totally founded in logic, reasoning, truth, or not. Who knows? Dominic, we're back!
We are back. Are we ready for our audience to be so excited and waiting for every single possible insight we can come up with? Yes, we are.
I'll have you know, I got at least two text messages wondering where our Lewis Hamilton goes to Ferrari episode was.
It's because we measure, we check, we do it twice to make sure that we've got the best information. And sometimes that means we're a little later.
It's true. Anyway, there was a lot that happened between the seasons, as we're starting to move into the season.
Indeed.
Shall we cover some of it?
I want to preface it first with, I didn't expect this much drama. I expected drama, but I did not expect this much drama. So
I don't think any... did you hear Lando Norris talk about the... when he found out that Lewis went to Ferrari?
No.
He was doing some sort of like cave diving Formula One racer off-season stuff. And one of his mates was on their phone, was like, oh, Lewis is going to Ferrari. And Lando like hadn't looked at his phone yet after being away for a couple days. And he's like, oh yeah, mate, funny joke. Haha. No way. And then he finally looked at his phone like a couple hours later. He's like, Lewis is going to Ferrari.
There's a key piece of information we can take away from this. Lando is not in the cool kids F1 chat because apparently all the other drivers knew. Like Pierre claims he knew. Obviously Charles knew. And Guan Yu Zhou, I think, says he also knew.
Lando did say he was like out of cell phone range during the cave diving expedition, so maybe he is in the chat, just, you know, hadn't looked at his phone after not getting cell phone reception in a cave.
I will excuse him on that one. Shall we kick off?
Let's do it.
Okay. Interesting and insightful thing, especially with the change in the Lewis driver thingamy-what's-it. George went to New Year's with Fernando again, right?
It's nice they're so buddy-buddy.
It is, and they are clearly absolutely out of their skins when they do this. It's hilarious. And they post pictures every year.
Is this the I Can't Beat Lewis Hamilton Club?
Oh, spicy. I like that. Yes. I also think it's because secretly deep down, George knows that he still has to beat Lewis, even if he's in another team. And the only way to do that is the driver that came closest, and that was Fernando Alonso.
You know, this is really like George's last year to truly beat Lewis. Because if he can't beat him in equal machinery, like, even if he beats him, like, the next season when Lewis is at Ferrari, it's like, well, yeah, but you couldn't beat him head-to-head, could you?
Yeah, because Lewis is in the crappy car now.
But, like, the only time George had the advantage was the year after 2021 when Lewis was probably depressed for three quarters of the season.
Yes.
Because even then, by the back half of the season, Lewis was on it again and handing it to George.
Exactly. I think there are other insights with George and his escape shenanigans that he performed over the season break. He also went karting with Fred and Toto and lots of others, but there was no Lewis. And now we know why. It's all clear that what had really happened was that Toto already knew that he needed to play with George because George was his primo driver. So, yeah.
Well, not to maybe skip ahead too much, but it does parallel into why did Lewis go to Ferrari? There's been the drama that came out the last couple days of Lewis was very intense that the 2020, what year is it, 3 car was being developed in the wrong fashion, and the engineers essentially told him, no, this is our job, you go away. And then by the mid-season, they were like, actually, you were right, I'm sorry.
I still haven't got to the episode in Drive to Survive, but I remember when he was basically implying it halfway through the season, not clearly as, not as overtly as I think it seems to have showed up in Drive to Survive, but... I think between that and these other rumors, maybe we'll hold on the other rumors about what went on behind the scenes. It makes much more sense why Lewis is leaving, because at first you read that headline and you're like, what? But before we get to the driver changes, we should talk about which team principals got fired.
Well, Günther Steiner was fired by Haas shortly after the season.
Indeed, and there was a story yesterday that apparently he wasn't fired.
Oh.
Apparently he found $20 million in sponsorship and said to Gene Haas, I'd like to have shares in the team and be part owner of the team. And Gene Haas told him to go shove it where the sun don't shine, And Gene was, and Gunter was like, I'm off then. And then he left, supposedly.
Yeah, I could see that. It was interesting that in the immediate kind of week or so after it happened, they were both in the media kind of saying, well, the other didn't want to win, and I want somebody who wants to win, or I want to be with a team that wants to win. Which, I'm going to kind of take Gunter's take on that one, given the position of where Haas is in the championship standings.
And the way they commit to spending a bunch of money or not spending a bunch of money in trying to move up that championship. Like, if you want to say you're a winner, you want to be a winner, you have to take out the checkbook and you have to, at least for a season, maybe two, show that you're spending the money.
Isn't the Haas car like the one with the most like stock parts that you can get on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And remember, they don't technically, they don't really design the chassis themselves. It's technically a Dallara. They subcontract it to Dallara with this weird design house thing that's also by Haas that's actually at Maranello, but they have separate entrances. It's very strange. And it all smells of kind of do it on the cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was very surprising. Did not expect Mr. Gunter to be kicked out of Haas, seeing as really he was the face of Haas. And I would argue, this is going to be really spicy, the only reason Haas manages to get any screen time is because of Gunter and his DTS cameo.
Speaking of teams that don't spend money, how about a team that wants to spend a bunch of money? Andretti.
I don't understand this. I don't understand why FOM says no. I don't get it.
It is absolutely fascinating because, like, while this is going on, Formula One management, Liberty Media, can seem to want to more Americanize the sport of Formula One.
Four races on the schedule, supposedly, with Chicago coming in 2026.
Exactly. And yeah, that's too many for America. Even as an American, yes. That's too many for America. Like, two is fine. Yes. Like, and I think there, and also another street circuit, really? Come on. We haven't even mentioned Madrid, and it's not even on our show notes. Jeez. How did screw this one up? Yeah.
While you explain the Andretti situation, I will use my keyboard skills to add an additional item live, like a breaking news situation.
That we can totally edit out or leave in then, to make it seem more or less professional, depending what the audience wants. Formula One, like, they seem to want more Americanization, as we talked about with like Chicago possibly coming onto the scene. Yet the one American team that's in the sport doesn't seem to really even want to be in the sport somehow. And here you have essentially a Cadillac Works team. Because let's not forget, this isn't Andretti. This is a Cadillac Works team using Andretti's name.
Mm-hmm.
Is not good enough for Formula One? Like, yeah, I don't think they'd be winning out of the gate, but I don't think they're going to be at the back of the field doing nothing.
You have to remember, like, the Ford versus Ferrari situation, right? Ford came in, brash American, thought they could totally pull it off, and couldn't until they really committed to it. And one of the greatest things about the United States of America is when it decides it really wants to do something, it really does it. And it feels like Cadillac really want to go and give it a shot. And maybe they won't succeed, but let's give them a chance.
Yeah. And let's not forget the famous Winston Churchill quote of America will do the right thing after doing everything else first.
Exactly. Exactly. Facts.
Yeah.
Facts. As a 20-year person living in this country, yes.
And then on top of that, like, the FIA seem relatively pissed as well, because, you know, they've done all this vetting of potentially new teams. Like, you remember there was a list of, I think, four, including one that was, I think, backed by some sort of like crypto billionaire sort of situation where it's like, yeah, this doesn't look good. But like, the FIA did a lot of work to validate the teams, make sure that they were bringing in, you know, they were going to be good for the sport, everything else. And then FOM comes out and says that Formula One would be better for Andretti than Andretti would be for Formula One. I think that was the quote, something along the lines of that.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
Yeah. And like, meanwhile, it's like there was a Prost team in the 90s, like a former world champion, like creating a team. It's not an unknown thing. Niki Lauda was around forever, kind of like essentially running a team. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. As an American, like, the Andretti name is so much more associated with American motorsports than the name of somebody like, oh, I don't know, Gene Haas.
Right. Or to be brutally honest, Mercedes or Red Bull. I mean, I know we have Red Bull in this country, but it's not like it's on every street corner. But Andretti, if you're a sports fan, even if you're not a motorsports fan, that Andretti name is... It's a bat signal from across the world saying you might want to pay attention to this because they know what they're doing, right? It's already there. You don't need to sell it.
Yeah, there are about four names in American racing that I would like pick with an F1 team, and like Chip Ganassi and Letterman are two of them, but they don't have the capital to do Formula One. Penske would be another one, but he loves his Indy 500 and sports car racing, so he's not going to do Formula One. And then you have Andretti, so it has to be Andretti, and it's Andretti. Like, it's a great name for Formula One.
It's not like that name doesn't have F1 history either. It's like, I don't understand it. It's
very... Yes, but we only talk about Mario, not Michael.
True, but it's there. Did you hear some of the other spicy background behind the whole fingers pointing at each other in this whole situation?
No. Oh, yeah, the it went to the spam box instead of the...
It went to the spam folder.
Yeah. So check your spam folders, friends.
Exactly. And the thing I find so fascinating about that is it shows disdain on both sides, right? F1, oh, we sent an invite and they didn't reply to it. Is that really how you run business? You send an invite and you don't follow up? You don't text them? You don't phone them? You don't send them a letter? You don't reach out to the people involved?
I think it's even more sinister than that, because... You and I both work in tech. My company specifically sends emails to people that don't go to spam boxes. Like, what kind of weird website domain system are you running that, you know, your average Outlook or Google inbox goes, you know what, this looks shady, this is going to spam?
That, you raise actually a very interesting point. Exactly what did it say in it? Was it littered with crypto billionaire sponsorship statements and that's why it got sent to the RAND file? It's ridiculous.
Maybe it's one of those things like those Nigerian prince emails where, like, you know, if you just forward $25,000 to FOM, we can make sure you're on the grid for 2026.
There we go. Maybe it got confused because they said MBS said it was okay and they thought it was a scam talking about the person who happens to murder people and chop them up into little pieces.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. No formal trial, so it's just an allegation.
Right.
So that's annoying and disappointing. Shall we move on to some people who renewed their contracts?
I will say just one last thing. That was my most disappointing news of the... Like, the biggest piece of news I thought was most disappointing over the offseason was Andretti not being on the grid.
I will happily subscribe to that because it was a loss of opportunity. And loss of opportunity is some of the worst versus shuffling chairs that are already there. So team principals that have seemed to have renewed their contracts. Toto, he slammed his fist down and said, I'm staying for another 3 years.
Okay. So the should we do the racial take or the not racial take?
Let's do the racial take.
Oh, so the white guy can be a generational Mercedes what was the word?
Talent?
No,
ambassador.
Ambassador, yes, that's it. The white guy can be the generational Mercedes ambassador, but the black guy can't.
Suspicious. I'm not On the one hand, I'm not surprised that Toto signed for 3 years. I'm also kind of surprised he signed for 3 years.
Like, well, I have thoughts.
Yeah.
They come later.
But I'm surprised that it's less that whether he should have. I thought he was trying to back his way out of it, right? And I feel like part of that would have been, I've signed for 3 years combined with a bunch of statements about I'm going to stop going to 50% of the races or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's because he secretly knew that Lewis was already going to go at that point and that was bad luck. Also at the same time, they also signed James Allison for 3 years, with the rumor that I saw that apparently the reason he got his deal slapped up, wrapped up and done, was because he apparently had a really good offer from Ferrari to go run their, technical office, which he had been previously working in. And then this ties into the fact that supposedly there was a whole bunch of rumors that Lewis was going to go to Ferrari and therefore they wanted to make sure, James Allison didn't jump before he found out that Lewis was going to Ferrari.
Have we wrapped up whether or not Bono's going to be going to Ferrari?
No, but there has been some statements about that, though, that are contradictory.
Yeah, because I think it was one of those things of if Bono was going to go to Ferrari, he was going to leave the team sometime this season so he could fulfill his garden period before the start of the 2025 season.
But there was the statements from... There were unofficial statements from Mercedes that Lewis was not barred from taking anybody. And then it came out like 2 weeks later that everybody in Lewis's contract had written that he can't take anybody with him. So I'd love to know how that actually works.
I mean, there's taking somebody with them, and then there's, hey man, I know this great job opening in Maranello. Are you interested? You should apply.
Indeed, it's going to be real interesting, especially like no poach agreements. I always feel somewhat leaky. So yeah, I was kind of surprised that Toto did that. But shall we move on to the what everybody would say is the biggest news of the off season?
Lewis and George's shirtless photo competition on Instagram.
There is that, but more importantly related to Lewis and George, George was supposed to go skydiving. And I don't know whether he bottled it or Lewis, who did go skydiving and looked absolutely jazzed about it. He looked really happy. He did it. I think he did it twice, three times maybe. But there was no George. And I'm trying to work out whether he bottled it or whether Lewis was like, I've just signed the contract. Do I really want to spend any more time with George?
It's fair. There's no point in team building at this point.
Indeed. So I thought that was interesting, especially as they were very adamant about it immediately after the end of the racing. They were like, yeah, I'm totally going to go skydiving. So
should we talk about the value of Lewis Hamilton?
Yes. Let's talk about the value of Lewis Hamilton. In addition to being a bang-up, seemingly pretty rad, nice guy, he also makes your stock price go through the roof.
And knows, apparently, how to build a car.
Knows how to build a car. Knows how to negotiate a deal, knows how to keep it on the sly, knows how to manage his backroom crew to help him get to this right place.
I will say in all this, first off, great for Lewis. Happy he's able to make the transition. And, you know, there's the whole thing of what Seb always said, everybody always wants to drive a Ferrari. Even if you don't want to drive a Ferrari, you want to drive a Ferrari. I love Ferrari management being like, oh, Mercedes isn't going to make you an ambassador for their team. The guy who won 7 world driver's titles with a Mercedes engine, you don't see this guy as like the guy for your business for forever. Like, okay.
I just cannot fathom the choice on that, right? Like, I don't know why you would sit down and of all the people that you've talked to, worked through, you look through the industry, who you're like, actually, they're pretty hardworking. They're a great brand builder. They sit across all the different things. Like, who in the paddock are you going to do that to? The only other one who even vaguely gets close of all people is actually, I think, probably Charles. Everybody else, like, builds a really good cross-brand, cross-cultural. He's great at it. And you're like, no, actually, we don't want to deal with that.
You know what I just realized?
Go on.
Lewis and Michael Schumacher have done the exact opposite thing. They win their first driver titles with a well-known team at the time. McLaren and Benetton. Then they move to another team trying to rebuild something. Mercedes and Ferrari end up winning a bunch at the respective teams. And then one goes to Mercedes and one goes to Ferrari.
We must stop Lewis from going skiing immediately.
No, he's got 3 years at Ferrari before we have to tell him to not go skiing. No, okay, it's okay, Lewis. Okay. It's Lewis snowboarding. He can't go snowboarding because it's the opposite.
Or skydiving.
Yes.
Or skydiving.
Yeah.
We should stop skydiving. Matt, I think this is great for Ferrari. I think it's great on a number of different levels. I'm a bit unsure whether it's really a good move for Lewis, but I think Lewis knows this is his swan song, so I think he feels differently about it.
I think this is the worst for Charles, because this is really going to expose, is Charles really a generational talent, or was Seb just really done?
Yes. Or to be, if you want to be like, give Seb the benefit of the doubt, Seb was still great, but Charles was at that point where he would do things differently. And like, I've been watching a lot of the off season, I've been watching a lot of old F1, and you can see how they're these drivers who come in and they peak and then they're done. And I there's an aspect of coming in, something to prove, you'll go that little bit further. I do agree, this is a potential bad sign for Charles.
Is Charles just a Valtteri Bottas with a one lap pace and can't ever string it together?
That's harsh.
I mean, but possibly is it true? It could be true.
It could be true.
Because that's always been, that was a, I mean, if you think about it, we give Valtteri the same criticism, or Charles, the same criticism we gave Valtteri. If he has one lap pace, can't hold it together on race pace for that many laps and kills the tires. That was everything people said about Valtteri. That's everything people says recently about Charles.
Key difference, Valtteri rarely put it in the wall.
That's true. Valtteri was Charles never was so a, stupid.
Yeah, Charles is very good at bidding it. So this is really interesting, but I think we have to wait until really 2026 And the fun headlines are going to be in the next 6 months when Ferrari have absolutely completely screwed the car. I don't think they have, but, you know, if something goes horribly wrong, and the headlines are like, Lewis makes terrible choice by going to red Ferrari.
I mean, that would be the first time we heard those headlines about Lewis a year before a massive rule change.
True. Maybe he's the smartest cookie in the box.
Let's see. What is this headline that Dominic has on our document? Dominic thought too much about history doesn't repeat, it rhymes.
Indeed. Indeed. So this is this. It's definitely possible. So we'll see.
One last question on Lewis. What the contract was insane. It was like $50 million a year or something like that. Or
I think the total contract value is $400 million over 3 years. But part of that is actually to Mission 44.
Right. Diversity funding and all that.
Like, just to revisit the we don't want Lewis to be the ambassador. Like, of all the companies on the grid that I expected to wake up in the morning and be like, you know what? I'm going to drop $150 to $200 million on a diversity fund to help, you know, underprivileged minorities, all this other stuff. Of all the teams on the entire grid that you would expect to do that, Ferrari? And he just woke up and just went, Lewis, I'll give you whatever you want and we will help you on it. Like, it's mind-blowing that Mercedes said no to that. Like,
Is diversity in Northern Italy hiring somebody from Southern Italy?
Probably. And maybe they've misunderstood where Lewis is from.
Maybe. but the one question I wanted to ask is, do you think Lewis Hamilton is worth that contract?
Yes.
I agree. 100%.
And I think it is irrespective of his on-track performance. I think it's even more valuable because he can bring so much to the on-track performance, but I think he represents even more off-track.
Yeah, I think in some senses he has that like gift of gab, as his networking skills are amazing. Of like, you look at all the people he's brought into kind of Formula One to like watch races and things like that. Like, it's great for Lewis.
He's also changed like his affinity. Like, he's no longer working with Tommy Hilfiger. He's now working with, oh God, I can never remember how to pronounce it, Louis Vuitton, that brand house. He's now working with that and appearing and wearing their fashion, all of that stuff. Like, it's classic. It's like, it's perfect for the whole brand. It's absolutely 110% perfect.
And just to put a little pin in this, do you think we're going to get a duet album with Charles and Lewis? Because let's not forget, Charles dropped an album during this offseason.
I really, really hope so, because I think that would be great. And I need to listen to Charles's tracks. So.
Something tells me they're a lot different than Lewis's tracks.
True, which is why the opportunity for them to be absolute bangers is right there.
I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles put out a Christmas album. I want the Ferrari Christmas album next year.
Yes. Slight super-duper mega tangent. You know Eric Cantona, the soccer player?
No, continue.
I'm not sure this makes any sense. Eric Cantona, the former Man United football player who once jumped up and kicked a spectator in the chest with both his boots, has released a whole load of music, and it's really, really, really bad. It's absolutely awful. And somehow he got on a British Friday or Saturday night talk show. It is so bad. Like, imagine going on the Late Late Show with your worst possible music. It's so bad. It's awful. Anyway, moving on.
The Late Late Show no longer exists.
Whatever the Tonight Show, is it the Tonight Show?
Well, no. Well, the Late Late Show with James Corden got replaced by After Midnight with Taylor Tomlinson. Great show.
Okay. Whatever. One of those shows.
Taylor's hilarious. If you haven't listened to her comedy, she has a new Netflix special out. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Stop watching Drive to Survive. Go watch Have It All.
So shall we move on to the much more serious topic, but with also a lot of significant fallout?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to open this with the fact that I'm amused that I've spent the last 2 years calling him Horny Horner, but it turns out it's not just a nickname, it appears. Maybe. We don't know yet, because nobody's saying anything.
Which is good.
Yes, I do think they're taking a little too long to provide what I would call the structure of the specific allegation.
That's fair, but I do hate when, like, there is an allegation and we think we know what it is, and then we all go down this rabbit hole and make judgment, and then it turns out to be something else. So I'd rather everybody kind of respect the process, and then we can all be very judgmental once the real reason comes out.
Yes. The TLDR is that it started out that apparently it was a bit sexual, but then it wasn't. It was just abusive management. and that makes it okay somehow, because everybody stopped being quite so angry about it.
I think somebody might have dropped a C-bomb.
Yeah. And then apparently it was a plant by Marco and Joss, who have it in for, I've forgotten his name.
Christian.
Christian. Which is not very Christian of me. But then wait a minute, we're back to eggplant pictures again. So it's taking too long. Ford today leaked to the Associated Press that they wrote a nasty letter to Red Bull saying, what are you doing? You have told us nothing. And given that Ford is basically not only a title sponsor, they are supposedly all in on the engine development. I think that's pretty bad from a managing your partner's perspective, especially when you know that Ford didn't just send the letter. They're also the people who leaked it.
Yeah, this kind of goes back to my comment at the top of the show of, can only Red Bull beat Red Bull? Because this seems to be like some sort of power struggle that's been left in the vacuum of after Dietrich's passing,
yes.
What, a year or so ago? And yeah, and then there's also the whole thing of like, apparently Adrian Newey's contract was tied with Horner's contract of like, if one left, the other could left. But I think that's turned out to no longer be the case.
Or even if it's the case that Adrian decided that if Christian did the supposed things he was alleged to have done, and I'm assuming Newey knows some of the details, that Adrian's like, well, I'm not going to, my boat is no longer tied to his boat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's just, it's a weird case where, like, you know, if I never quite know what the answer is, if somebody does something like this, like, should they lose their job or not? Like, but it does seem like if Christian is out, who do you get to replace Christian that keeps everybody in line? Because, like, you don't want Helmut running things. You don't want Joss running things. Not that I think he would, but, you know, to some extent, like, what made Christian very good team principal is he could manage all these big personalities and keep the team focused on the right thing. If you no longer have somebody who can do that, like, Otmar Snaff is not going to do that.
No. Here's the thing. I don't think Red Bull, the drinks company, would put Joss in for blatantly obvious reasons.
No, but you don't have to attend with Joss because he's in the garage every freaking weekend.
You're not going to put Marco in there, and you're going to go find someone who can do it. And I suspect that the reality of running Red Bull, and it will lead to their wilderness years, or a short period of wilderness, is they will go find someone who can deal with those characters, but is not able to deal with the racing side of it, if that makes any sense. Right? Part of making that whole machine work, and I think what Christian has managed to somehow balance, is managing not only those two characters, but also the context of the rest of the team in the context of F1. Because I think you can get plenty of people who can manage the Joss and the Marco people, but I don't know if you can then bring with it with the racing experience. That's the problem, is that field is extremely narrow.
Yeah, and I think you and I, in like our text messages to each other, we had some names we floated out, and we'd like, you know, what Hannah Schmidt's proven how good she is at like race strategy and stuff, and I could see her being great as like the team principal side of strategizing across the whole season, just in a different sort of strategy. But I'm not sure how good she would be at managing Helmut Marko, for instance.
But I think that like that's a great example of why she is probably very well placed to do that. She has probably spent the last 3, 5, 8 years, however long she's been doing the job, managing Joss and Marco, because she's the strategist, and you know what happens when they screw up a pit stop or they make the wrong strategy call. You know who's going to show up at your door banging on it, screaming on it? Those two. And so I think she probably has that. She has the F1 experience. The only difference is she ready to give up on the strategy? I don't think Christian stands around deciding strategy.
No. No, but it would be interesting. I don't know if team principal's on her career path, like if that's what she wants, or if she's just happy to be, but she's been great at Red Bull. I think if anybody offered her a team, I don't think anybody would be out of the realm possibility to offer her a team principal job at some point in time.
I agree. Here's a total wild card that just popped into my head for totally weird reasons. Claire Williams.
Yeah, yep.
Because I think she's had to deal with the adversity and annoying people who want money. Like, I think it represents a not dissimilar set of challenge in trying to wrangle people who would basically want your blood. In the first place, and I think she's probably quite good at it. I don't know whether she's ready to come back. She is rocking it in Drive to Survive this season. She's back, and it's great.
A Claire-Hannah combo would actually be really good, because one thing that I think Claire was bad at was managing like the racing side, and that's the thing I think Hannah would be really good at. So,
yeah. Hey, if I was going to actually mention that, the betting thing is what will happen is they'll split the CEO and team principal role
I agree.
Red Bull, and they'll give the CEO role to somebody who sells lots of fizzy drinks, and then they'll find someone like Hannah to run the racing side of it.
So. I think that'd be great.
Yep. Hopefully we'll get something out of this soon, because otherwise it's going to look really stupid.
I would be really sad to see Christian off the grid, just because he is such a great shitster.
Drive to Survive this season is like wall-to-wall Christian Horner with the world's biggest spoon stirring the world's biggest cup of tea. It is infuriating.
He's I'm glad you love it so much.
Smug little see you next Tuesday.
And I hear I thought we were going to make it through that segment without any sort of C-bombs, but hey, what do you know?
That was an S-bomb. You spell see you next Tuesday with an S.
That, sure. and then finally, something that we've had on this document the whole time. Exactly. Looks like Barcelona is moving to Madrid. Well, the races, not the cities.
What is this, like moving Sokovia?
Welcome to tinfoil geography. Your hottest exactly. geography hot takes.
I'm kind of disappointed about this because I think Barcelona is actually a pretty good track. It always brings interesting racing.
I think recently with the changes, since they undid all the bad changes and put the track yes. back together, I think it's been good.
Yes, yes. Plus, it's got so much history, like Nico and Lewis hitting each other. I am mildly excited for the Madrid track when I took some time to look at it. A, it's got a tunnel, and I love tunnels. Tunnels are great.
And a roundabout.
Exactly. It's going to be brilliant. The only thing that puts me off is it's a street circuit. And the only reason I don't like street circuits is I think it changes the approach to racing so much that you basically reduce overtakes most of the time. And leads to, and it also leads to the slightly messed up situation that anybody times somebody bends it, which inevitably somebody will do, you end up waiting 45 minutes while they unravel the train wreck that they've just created.
I will say, we talked a lot of shit about Vegas, and that ended up being a really good race.
I'm unwilling to accept that until we've had a second race, though.
That's fair. And as far as beginner's luck. Yeah, as far as the roundabout goes, it'd be great if they could put some sort of like Hot Wheels inspired ramp there and just let them jump over the roundabout.
Yes, yes. That'll encourage them to soften their suspension.
I mean, come on. If we're going to Americanize the sport, we got to Americanize the sport. Let's get Hot Wheels in here. I want an orange racetrack.
That's why Andretti needs to come in. Exactly. That's why Andretti needs to come in. They can be sponsored by Hot Wheels. I mean, they've got little covers on the wheels now, and you can just make them look like Hot Wheels. Like, it's just waiting.
Formula One team, we are ready to accept any job offers you throw at us.
Exactly. We are your strategists, your marketing team. We know all the things to do. Also, FIA and FOM, we are ready. The other street track we have on this list is Chicago, which
we don't really know a lot about it right now.
We don't, and I'm also like to put the point we discussed earlier. We don't need four tracks in America. We don't more than importantly that we don't need three street tracks.
Yeah, let's bring back Laguna. If we're gonna have another race in America, let's do Laguna Seca and let's go down the corkscrew.
Yeah, Laguna Seca or possibly Watkins Glen. That's actually quite reasonable, quite fun. Don't do Sebring.
Neither of which are grade one tracks.
They should fix that.
I know.
Every time I hear about Laguna Seca being made an F1 track, somebody's like, well, the track itself, like the bit you drive on, it's pretty good, not bad. You know, it's easy to do. And then it's like, yeah, but it's like $450 million to fix the paddock because it's basically some sheds.
Yeah, there are actually a lot of like really good tracks in America, I think, that you don't need to do another street track for, but you do have to get them up to grade one standards. The Sonoma racetrack, also in California. I drove that one on Forza a lot. That one was a bunch of fun. And Indy did a race there for a lot. And I do think Watkins Glen is great just from the history.
Yeah, yeah. You just got me making think of that. We could get a California track. It might be in a place that I'd want to go to. It's convenient. It's the same time zone. Come on, people. If we're going to do...
Well, Dominic, I have great news for you. The Sacramento Grand Prix Street Circuit is ready to happen.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. Okay, next section.
I mean, speaking of sponsorship, if we're going to talk about Hot Wheels, there is nothing more sponsorship appropriate than car liveries.
Yes, our car liveries. We're going to be very excited about this because every livery this year was different, artistic. They hired amazing people. There was colors, there were stripes, there was
did we watch the same car launches? I don't think we did.
No, I think I was getting confused with NASCAR, which changes at every race, I learned.
Wait, who?
Why would you do that?
Sorry, what?
NASCAR, they change it every race.
Really?
Yeah, I was watching the Netflix NASCAR Drive to Survive.
Oh.
And I was like, is this the same Driver. And then I worked out that they were changing the suits, the car colors, everything except the number changes between races. And that's why I could not keep track of who was who. It was absolutely baffling.
I know they do like some specialty stuff. The Ricky Bobby Cougar car has made several appearances in NASCAR.
That sounds amazing. I did not see that. But it was to the point I paid enough attention. The worst part was, the thing that really threw me, is that sometimes car A design, or design A for driver A, would end up being shown on driver G, looking exactly the same but with a different number. And it was very confusing. It was totally bonkers. Anyway.
Yeah, I just think of, you tell me about an NASCAR car and like the liveries, and I just always think of like Jeff Gordon's number 24 rainbowy car. Great car.
I was watching the wrong NASCAR.
Apparently.
I reordered these into least number of stars to most number of stars.
Sure.
Or I tried to, because I've just noticed I've in fact missed one. So let me put that back in the right place.
I went from in launch order.
I went in ranking order because it looked a bit weird halfway through.
That's fair. Well, should we start with what at least was my least inspired car design of the season?
Yes.
And I gave it 0 out of 5. That would be the Alpines. How dare they? They tease this pink camo that's like, oh, that's different and interesting. And in the end, the car is black and black and black and black. And there's a little blue accent and a little pink accent. And they call them different liveries. How dare they?
I do not understand what they were doing, but you've just reminded me that they did the whole pink thing for 3 races last at the beginning of the season last year, and they're doing the same this year, even though they wussed out and didn't do the pink camo livery, which had been amazing. But I realized why they do it. It's because after the 3rd race, you realize they're not going to do anything and never going to get any camera time, so you're going to pay for 3 races where they're all like, maybe we'll show the car just in case.
You know, and I don't mind like a black livery because, and somebody pointed out, I think it was like Will Buxton on Twitter, somebody on Twitter pointed out that like the Renault livery from a couple years ago, which this is the same organization, did a great job of a mostly black livery. But when you looked at it from the front, the car looked yellow. When you looked at it from the side, the car looked black. That's really cool. Good job, Renault. Alpine, what the hell? Who'd you fire? Stop it.
That's terrible. It's terrible, and it doesn't help that the car's terrible too. So, yes. I would also like to point out, just as an FYI, if you're colorblind, the blue versus pink thing is actually really hard to pick up. They should work harder on that.
That's even worse. That tells me they really did a bad job.
Yeah, apparently got no one colorblind, which surprises me given that 1 in 10 dudes are colorblind. So, next on the list is Haas.
Yeah. It's fine. 2 of 5.
Yeah. Did they change anything this year?
I don't think so. Not really. Maybe a little more red? They had to add the MoneyGram logo.
No, they added that last year.
Oh. All right. Well, yeah. I think it's a little more red than it was last year. A little less white, yeah. A little more red. It's fine. But again,
he probably got a cheap deal on some red paint.
There were a lot of things floating around that it's like, essentially, you need to have, we should have a regulation in 2026. You need to have a painted car. Paint is required on cars.
100%. No thinner than 0.01 millimeters or whatever it is. I'm down for that because it's ridiculous. Number 3, Merck. I gave it a 2 out of 5. Basically, it looks like they couldn't decide between a silver car and a black car, especially after Lewis noped out. They're like, oh, we don't need to do a black car anymore. We can go back to being silver. Somehow, though, on track, it actually looks pretty good. It has a little bit of that Renault. When you look at it from one angle, it looks silver, and then from other angles, it looks black. Like and it also doesn't have that carbon fiber black look. It's not like you're like, oh, you just really didn't paint it.
And check out those side pods.
Yeah, they look they're out there, and they kind of go, and they're not like a giant turd sitting on a plate. It's great.
I like moving on to like the Williams. It's similar to last year's, but I think it's still a good blue. I like they gave some nods to Frank Williams in the livery, which I think is great. 4 out of 5.
And they've got the permanent Duracell thing on the top, which I love. I think that's great. Like, whoever thought of that in either the Williams or Duracell marketing department, top tip. Good work.
Fantastic. V-Carb?
I can't stand the name.
Sorry, Visa Cash App Racing Bulls?
There we go. 4 out of 5. I thought this was a pretty good livery. Looks great.
Yeah, I like the blue. The Toro Rosso blue coming back is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Nose is a bit weird, but
Hugo Boss on the wing. Is that Hugo Boss on the wings or just a different Hugo?
No.
Different Hugo.
Hugo. which is the same as Hugo Boss, but apparently not really. Like, it's owned by Hugo Boss, but it's not Hugo Boss.
Does it have a more recent, less complicated history?
Probably. It's more casual.
Ah. when you don't need your best to go to Poland.
Exactly. There's a convenience relationship going on there with Red Bull somewhere. I'm not going to bring any. Not going to talk about it anymore. Next on the list.
This was my favorite livery. We don't see lime green on the grid. That nope. it stands out. You know, you're going to be able to tell. You're not going to be squinting at the screen this year, going, "Is that the Sauber?" You're going to know the Sauber's going by.
The problem is because it's so bold and so bright, you won't be able to see the driver's helmet, so I won't know which driver it is.
That's okay. You can read the number on it.
True. Hopefully they don't go for yellow numbers and green.
How great would it be if it glows in the dark? Sauber, make it, use glow in the dark paint. Come on, put some glow in the dark pigment in there.
Yes.
We got those night races. Let's make it happen. I want to see a glow in the dark car.
When the car is so bad it's not performing anyway, what's the disadvantage of putting a bunch of heavy paint on it to make it glow in the dark? Embrace your failure.
And then Ferrari, McLaren, and Red Bull, great job. You just did last year's liveries again.
Ferrari did add a yellow or green stripe, but all it does is evoke McDonald's for me. And every time Ferrari do a special livery on the suits or on the car, it just gets closer and closer to McDonald's. And I think they just need to... I'm loving it. They just need to embrace it and have McDonald's sponsor the team. Like, you're giving free advertising. Make them pay for it.
I mean, then it truly would be a clown car.
Indeed. Exactly. Exactly. They can sit on the grid wearing the Ronald McDonald hat. Again, Ferrari sponsorship, we are ready.
Yeah. And then one last note on the car launches. Red Bull Williams. Coming out with no side pods, doing a zero side pod design.
I don't think they are. Supposedly somebody got shots of the radiators and the radiators are in the wrong position to go to zero pods. They'd have to completely re-engineer the entire radiator to make
Maybe
it go
they
to
have.
Zero
pods. They said they were going to move to developing that towards that goal.
Yeah.
And that could be the thing in 3 to 4 races.
I think they're going to do the concept of zero pods, which is to try get more air to go through it, but they're not going to flatten the pods. They're going to stump the pods. They're going to make them narrower. They're going to make them shorter, not wider, when you look at them from the front of the car. They're going to get smaller and thinner until they're basically wings.
Yeah. It seems our worst fears with the Red Bull 20 have, or the RB20 have been confirmed. They might have built a rocket ship.
Yeah, I spent 45 minutes, maybe an hour, watching day one or day two. I was just watching the cars. I didn't listen to what they were saying about it, but I watched them. And I would rank the Red Bull as very fast, but way more twitchy than last year.
Which is good for Max and bad for Checo.
Yes. And I think you can see that in the times. But I thought that was very true. I thought the Ferrari bounced like a pogo stick. They still haven't fixed that.
It's been doing that for years.
I don't understand why. Like, it's the other thing that confuses me about that is the Ferrari seems to go quickly. Like, it was last year basically the second fastest car, and it still bounces like a pogo stick. Merck have fixed it. It is properly balanced. That car goes down those straights, and it doesn't badoing. There is more to that car than they let on. And I think it's maybe that it's not going to be the fastest out the gate, but I think they have the opportunity to make significant improvements.
We'll see.
Car.
Yeah.
And Lewis was saying it was better.
Yeah, I saw somebody was looking into the GPS data, suggesting that Max never went out of low engine mode on all the testing data.
Somebody also said that about Ferrari, that they didn't turn their engine up.
I could see that. I mean, if you're really trying to correlate the wind tunnel data and testing and all, like, there's no point to burn through the engine.
I saw a clip from someone on one of the social medias explaining why, if you watch really carefully, there's a lot of drivers who lap after lap go down one of the straights and they stop at 200 kph.
Yep,
they
just stop.
They don't go any faster. And I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And it was also that it correlates correctly with the wind tunnel because they have the same velocity. And so it all makes sense and they can do the actual computations. I'm like, hey, that makes sense.
Yeah, the wind tunnels are limited, I believe, to 180 kilometers an hour.
That's also what I saw, yes. There is one more major technical breakthrough that was came out late breaking, and this is significant.
Yes, not since 2013 we had such a technology breakthrough.
I know, this is shocking. Williams have changed their steering wheel to be like everybody else's, as in they took the camera off the screen off the car and put it in the wheel. like, this is shocking. Deep down.
Dominic, do you think they considered the rotational weight of the screen on the steering wheel?
I think they did, which is why it is triangular. It's very triangular. They've clearly tried to shave some weight off it, which also conveniently lets them work on a sponsorship play for Doritos.
Other triangular chips are available.
Indeed. Such as Juanita's, which is only known as Juanita's in Washington State. Outside of Washington State, it's named something else that I can't remember the name of.
They're made in Oregon.
I know, it's a fun fact, isn't it?
But man, those chips are so good.
They are.
They're so good. And they're gluten-free.
Yes, exactly, which is why we have them in this household.
So good. There is a poke place around the corner from me that does poke nachos, and they use Juanita's chips. It is so good.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like tuna fishy on the nachos?
Other fishes are available, but yes, tuna is one of them.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
Sometimes you get a salmon, maybe a scallop.
Yeah. Oh, stay away from scallops.
It's fair enough.
One more thing on steering wheels. WhatsApp now own the button on the Mercedes, so just as an FYI, including apparently in cars, in race, it is a green WhatsApp button.
Is it now encrypted end-to-end, so that way we can't have any team broadcasts from Mercedes?
I don't know. That's a great question. We should make sure that we post that.
Oh, we made off-season predictions.
We did.
Did we get any right?
Let's think about this. W15 is going to be even worse than W14 and even worse than the W13. That was from me. I'm trending wrong on this one, but time will tell. Despite my previous statements that I think it looks like a pretty stable car, we'll see how fast it actually goes. Next one was, I said we will get at least one surprise team principal, team owner, driver change over the break. Turns out 2 out of 3 ain't bad. We're trending maybe technically to a 4th, 3rd, maybe.
We are just practically savants over here at this point.
Exactly. I should have taken a bet on that. Except it was none of the people I thought it would be.
That's true. Yeah. good thing you didn't name names. You just said somebody's going to change.
That's how you become a good fortune teller. You don't make it specific.
Right. You got to just make vague statements. Speaking of vague statements, so we had our occasional segment of who's on the hot seat, who's potentially losing their job. And I thought it's a good look to the start of the season to see whose seat is hot this season. Of, you know, do you think they're on the chopping block? Might they need to have a good year to stick around? Who's in danger of being a part of our occasional recurring segment? How does blank still have a job?
Right. So we should say, to use the parlances for our performance review that we gave, they are loose in the socket, but not because of their own doing.
Yeah. Well, as of the time of this recording, Christian Horner's might be of his own doing.
Yes. So let's see. Number one you have on this list is Toto.
Yeah, I put Toto, despite the 3-year contract extension. You know, you're losing your star driver for 2025. Oh, sorry. George's still on the team. My apologies. But
you said star driver.
I did. That was kind of the joke of they're hitching their wagon to George and shouldn't be. You know, you, on top of that, you also have, you know, the car hasn't been great. You weren't listening to Lewis about how to develop the car. So there's maybe some management struggles in Mercedes. We've talked about him selling possibly trying to sell his shares or stake in the team for a year or so now. So I could see if things don't trend to what Mercedes has been expecting of their Formula One team, Mercedes could be gone, Toto could be gone, but it's not the greatest situation, I think, over in wherever Mercedes is based that I now am.
Brixworth. And what's the other one? Oh, Brixworth. And I can remember. Brixworth is where the engine come from.
Who's in Woking? McLaren's in Woking.
McLaren's in Woking. I will also say that, per your point about management, like, you would have asserted maybe 18 months ago that Toto had full control and he could do whatever he wanted and just told the board of Mercedes, and Mercedes were like, okay, Toto, you do what you want to do. But clearly, by exacting and pushing their finger on the scales with respect to Lewis and his contract, because they think he's old or something, I think that shows that actually Toto doesn't have the control that he thought he had.
Yeah.
Fun fact about Toto, in the beginning, the very first 10 minutes of Drive to Survive episode 1, we see Toto at the Aston Martin summer of 75 year anniversary soiree. Suspicious. He owns part of the team, so, well, part of Aston Martin, I think.
And then what drivers do you think might be on the chopping block this season? Because let's not forget, going into the offseason, what, half the grid didn't have a contract for 2025, or was it more than that?
Correct.
Yeah.
I think it's about that. Yeah.
And so far, the only one to really secure his future is Lewis.
Technically, no, he had a contract.
He did have a contract, so he wasn't even in the half bit.
Correct. Lando also had a contract, but I think he was up at the end of 2025, so he was a little bit closer.
And Charles also renewed for a long period of time.
Correct. But they were all not people who were on the, they were not on the out of contract list at the end of this season.
Right.
So I think it is going to be a brilliant silly season. But you have four names and I have added three.
Yeah, I think Checo's an obvious one. There's even rumors that Daniel's already in the seat for 2025.
Yeah.
We talked so much about Lance last season. I think we'd be remiss not to talk about him again.
I don't know how Lance stays in his seat, but there are obvious reasons why he stays in his seat.
Yeah, I think Lance's best landing spot is that Aston Martin hypercar spot.
Yep.
Which we do think he'd be good in WEC. He has the characteristics of a driver that it would be good in WEC.
Everybody in F1 is a capable car driver. The question is do they rank in F1? But they are definitely some of the best, and that's when we talk about Lance. We're not criticizing him saying he's crap. He's just not quite meeting the bar for F1.
You say that, but you have Kevin Magnussen on the list.
Yeah. He got shown up by the Hulk.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. So not a capable driver. and Lance also came to preseason testing knowing he has to find speed to Fernando. Mm-hmm. And yeah, not just some, Lance, a lot.
The saving grace here is I think Fernando is in trouble because I think he's an amazing driver and he should absolutely stay on the grid because he's absolutely great. He's worthy of being in that seat until the day he gives it up. But I think he's going to get screwed by trying to get the Mercedes seat and Daddy Stroll will kick him out and then we'll end up with no seat.
It's true. We do have the drama of who's going to be in that Mercedes seat. Guan Yu Zhou, I think... He's hit or miss. I don't think he's been a bad driver, but, you know...
He needs a better car. He needs a better car to prove that it's not, like, that he's good because the car makes him look crap.
Yeah, and isn't he, to some extent, like, a pay driver with some of the sponsorships he can bring in from China? Yeah.
Basically. And when Audi show up, where they're really sponsoring it and really covering all the bills, you really need that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's a bad driver by any stretch, but it's just in the 2025 world, I'm not sure where he is on the grid. Maybe still at Salba, maybe not. Logan Sargeant, I think, barely got a contract for 2024, so let's see what happens for 2025.
He was also the first spin of the season.
He was. There's something like, yeah. You have Valtteri Bottas on the list.
I think Bottas is great. But I think that unless somehow magically the rumor of him coming back to Mercedes happens, which has been discussed only because like he was recently there, I'm not sure where he would go. And I think if you're Audi at the end of this, when you come into 2025, 2026, you're going to have a serious conversation about whether you want to keep Bottas. There's not enough discussion about what happens behind the scenes in terms of development of the car and building the team around him, which he said he wanted to do. But I'm not sure if you're Audi that you're going to keep him, because you could be like, well, what I'll do is I'm going to pick up Carlos because his dad says he's pretty good. And then the question is who are you going to pair Carlos with?
That's true. I do think Valtteri is like, he's either going to just remain at an Audi, he's going to go back to Mercedes, or he's just going to race his bicycle full time with his yes. girlfriend.
Exactly.
I think those are the solutions.
I look forward to him competing professionally in world championship level cycling.
Yes, there is a Gravel World Championship. I had to think about it for a second. And then, you had K-Mag.
Yep, I have nothing particularly against K-Mag, but when you get shown by the Hulk and you've got a new team, right? The team is at least trying to think differently, and I think that that leads to both drivers being at risk, but the Hulk has shown that he has the one-lap pace in a crappy car, and K-Mag does not have the one-lap pace.
You know the biggest risk for K-Mag and Hulkenberg? Is a cheaper driver coming along.
Yes. Logan, American driver in American car.
You know, that's really honestly the biggest threat is like Gene can say, hey, Logan, I'll give you $1.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What's the minimum wage in Florida? $1.25? Races are 90 minutes. There we go. That's $10 a race.
Perfect. Problem solved. Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and I think there's people you haven't talked about, not that they are at risk themselves, but being the catalyst for these people being particularly at higher level risk, like Yuki with the strong rumor that there's the Honda deal coming in 2026, so he's going to go with Honda to Aston Martin, etc. And I think it just puts a bunch of pressure in a bunch of places, especially with F1, as it's become a big brand and a big thing, and everybody wants to do something and they want their own spin on it. I think there's more corporate pressure to cause a bunch of people to move around that maybe wouldn't have moved around otherwise.
Yeah, and in reality, like, the best driver that doesn't have a seat right now is Carlos Sainz, and, like, he deserves it. He could be a good spot for that Mercedes seat.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated to see what Mercedes do, right? Yeah. There's both because I'm curious about Mercedes, and I want someone to show up at George, but there's this part of me that is really curious about what they choose to do, because the question is, like, I think... The real change point will be when we've seen Kimi Antonelli do his first maybe 5 races and see how he's managed to perform in that F2 car. And that will be what changes the rest of the dynamic. And the real challenge for Mercedes is if you're going to keep Nando hot and you're going to keep Bottas hot and you're going to keep Carlos hot for that seat for, you know, a 2 or 3 year contract, they're going to get snapped up, locked in real quick. And if you're waiting till the summer break to try and lock that, that's really hard work for them.
In some ways, the Lewis news is, while it's bad for Carlos to lose his Ferrari drive, it is good it happened so early, because he is, if he continues the form he did last year, he will show Charles up on several occasions and prove like he is a good driver. And Mercedes might say, we're not going to wait around. We're just going to sign Carlos now.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting.
Or
real interesting.
Time is a circle and he goes back to Red Bull and drives the V-carb because Danny's out and Yuki's out.
Oh my God, that's like perfect.
Time is a flat circle.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, the only other thing that needs to happen is Yuki goes to Aston and they bring back Danny Kvyat.
Oh, perfect. The torpedo lives.
Indeed. Speaking of Red Bull, do we think anybody else from Red Bull might be on the chopping block?
You mean apart from Christian Horner?
Apart from Christian Horner. No, just Christian Horner. My super spicy take is actually this will result in a power struggle between Christian Horner and Red Bull to the point that Red Bull F1, as we know it, gets taken out of the Red Bull family and becomes its own thing where he gets a bunch of money from a bunch of people, not from Ford. And then it turns out that the real Red Bull F1 team is Minardi. I mean, Toro Rosso. I mean, AlphaTauri. I mean, Visa Cash App RB.
There we go. Yep. You know, if only Andretti had some sort of shady crypto sponsor, FOM would have taken them on right away.
You're absolutely spot on. Spot on.
And then the entire Alpine team.
Yeah, so... The story I've seen, and it's come out in a couple of different places, is the Alpine was turned up full beans and they were pushing really hard to make it not look terrible. And it's really terrible. Apparently it's like a really bad car. Like, they know it's bad and it really looked bad compared to everybody else. Difficult to drive, unstable in the worst way to be unstable. It's still got the crappy engine because they can't change the crappy engine, and it's just all bad. And then the rumor this morning is a bunch of people are about to get fired from Alpine, and I still hold out that the right thing that Andretti/General Motors should be doing would be calling up Renault and saying, can we just buy the team and slap a new name on it? Like, if you're really committed to entering into F1, right, if that's what your goal is, just take out the crappiest team, which by all accounts in some respects seems possibly to be Alpine. They're so bad at what they do. Replace them with your Andretti team and everybody's happy.
There is something to be said that... So essentially, Alpine could drastically improve their car by deciding they are no longer going to manufacture an engine and be have to be given a Red Bull powertrains engine.
Yes.
That is their best strategy to improve their car right now, is give up on making an engine.
That's a beautiful idea.
Because Merck has 4 teams. Ferrari has 3.
Yep.
Red Bull has 2, Renault has 1. If they drop their engine, they would have to get a Red Bull powertrains, which is, or a Ford, whatever we're calling it these days.
And even then, if you think that the contract is locked, what you could do is you could just say that you're going to drop out from 2026 onwards, and you'll get to pick up a Honda or a Red Bull. You get to pick one of the two.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Well, you get the Honda because it would only have one team, right, Aston?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Your assumption is
if Cadillac comes in with Andretti, you get your choice of Honda or a Cadillac.
And Cadillac was supposed to be taking the Renault engine anyway for 2025.
Right.
So...
Yeah. Weirdly, I think the best thing Alpine could do is drop their engine department. That is insane.
Yes.
All right, so we got so many predictions to come up. Not only do we have season predictions of your things for the season, we also have World Driver Championship predictions and Constructors Championships, and then Bahrain predictions.
We are a prediction machine.
Yes. Dominic, do you have any spicy season takes?
I don't, really. I there's too much going on, and there's not enough data to form a spicy take yet.
Yeah. I would agree. However, mine would be that Oscar gets his win before Lando.
I really don't want this to happen, but I just feel that the way Lando's luck falls, this will happen. And it will be in the most inconvenient way possible. Uh-huh. Like a puncture on the last lap while Oscar's running in second place.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I will sign up to this.
Yeah. But because I was with you. It's like, well, there hasn't been a lot. Like, what do I want to say? Oh, Fernando's going to beat Lance Stroll. Like, come on, that's not fun. I had to come up with something. And it was like, Oscar getting a win before Lando could be good.
Lando in Drive to Survive is always a... enjoyable character. He's such a little scamp in a adorable, loving, supportive kind of way, and Oscar has not yet found his voice.
So yeah,
it makes it even more sad and annoying that Lando won't get his win.
I could see like Lando beating Oscar over the course of the season, but like it's going to be similar to what 2022. Yeah,
when George beat Lewis.
No, when Danny beat Lando.
Oh yeah. That was 2021. Monza.
And somehow we can all, if we really want to take this to another level, it is all going to be the result of Alex Albon's appendicitis.
Yes, agree. Hard agree.
Because everything is. Somehow Lewis going to Ferrari was because of Alex Albon's appendicitis.
Yes, I agree. I don't know how it is, but I agree with that. Yeah. 100%. I'm going to get a t-shirt. If we get enough listeners, the first t-shirt we'll make will say, it's all because of Alex Albon's appendicitis.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex Albon's appendix, for making Formula One worth watching recently.
Exactly. Agree. Hard agree.
All right. Let's talk Drivers' Championship. Who do you got?
Yeah. My prediction is the winner, it's going to shock everybody, is Max.
Oh, wow. Shocker. I have exactly the same one.
Yeah. Number two in the championship will be Carlos.
That's a good pick. I went with Checo just because I think that Red Bull is going to be so quick that, like, even if Checo can't hold on to Max, like, he's just going to be consistently there enough that, like, it'll be okay.
The problem for Checo is it's an even more unstable car.
Yep.
And when Checo gets frustrated, he forgets how to drive a car and makes bad choices. And so he will not only drive into people, but he will, for once, accidentally drive into people when the car, he goes for a dive down the inside, but it's not doing what he says it's going to do. And he's going to get taken out. He may be in good positions in the thing, but he will not score the points because something falls off the car because of him. That's why I assert he won't be in the top three.
And then your third?
My third is Lewis.
Great pick.
This is based on the fact that Lewis has gotten over his 2022 funk and the car does what he wants. It's not the fastest car. It is not even possibly the third fastest car on the grid. But because I am a Lewis booster, he will get the best out of that car because it's predictable. And when the car behaves consistently, not good or the best, but consistently, he will be able to extract more out of it than George.
I went with Oscar in third.
This is spicy. This is spicy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about just going like, you know, Max Checo Charles or Max Checo Lewis or something like that. But it's like, no, let's throw a wild card in here. Let's put Oscar in third.
And what is the reason? What is the guess at why it's not Lando?
Because Lando just doesn't have the luck, and Oscar has now another year in the car, and you know he was driving well at the end of last season. And you know, I think he and Lando are very, I think you could have put Oscar or Lando at number three on that spot.
Yep.
And because I think McLaren, they've done this amazing thing this season where it looks like they're going to show up to the first round with a good car rather than just waiting until the mid-season to like bring a good car to the races.
It's inspired.
Apparently, there are also points for the first 8 races on the calendar.
There are points for 8 races on the calendar?
For the first 8 races, there are also points.
I got it. Yeah,
you don't just have to show up to Silverstone with a good car. You can show up to Bahrain with a good car and start collecting points.
It's a big change this year. It's good job McLaren got ahead of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we move on to the Constructors' Championships?
Unless you have anything else to say about my wild... Oh, let's go really crazy. Let's throw one more in here. Who's last? And Logan. Why is it Logan Sargeant?
Logan.
I'll say last will be Kevin Magnussen.
No, not possible.
No, because I think the Williams is going to be a good enough car that even Logan can get a point or two, and that Haas is going to be so crap that K-Mag is not going to get a point.
K-Mag will get points because the Alpine is so bad.
Oh, okay. So you're gonna yeah. So we'll also have a last in the Constructors. I'll say Haas, and you'll say Alpine. It's the last in the Constructors.
Yes, 100%.
Those are good picks. Those are good picks.
Yes. Yes.
We can't just all be positivity on this show. We need some. God, no. We need some negativity here.
Yes.
So so which of your Alpine drivers is going to be last on the grid?
Ocon.
Good shout.
He's too spicy.
All right.
Too spicy.
So. I picked the safe choice for the Constructors. I went with Red Bull. But you've done something bold.
I have picked Mercedes. And this is not a game because I don't think they're the best. But I think that as much as Red Bull have got out in front, right, Checo will be held back by the car even more than he was last year.
Okay.
And so because of that, I think A, Checo can't run rear gunner. 2, they won't collect a bunch of points. And I think the others will have better peak performance so that they will take those wins away from Max, right? Leaving you with the most consistent other team. And the most consistent other team.
You do know Max won the Constructors by himself last year,
I know.
Right? Yeah.
I agree. I agree with that. But everything else behind him was not consistent. It was kind of all over the place.
True. It was
so
really
between
good.
Between some people being able to take 1 or 2 wins away from Max, right? And the consistency of the pairing of George and Lewis, it will put them in the top. And it'll be close. It will be close. It will be really close.
I want to see the math on this, that like it works out over the course of a season, that you have Max and Carlos go one, Red Bull Ferrari go 1-2. Lewis is your highest placed Mercedes driver at 3, and somehow Mercedes wins the Constructors. I want to see that championship table.
Okay, I'm going to do that, but you got to remember that George will come in right behind Lewis all the time. Charles will have binned it, and Checo will have binned it.
Well, I think, honestly, George and Russell are going to, or George and Russell, George and Lewis are going to take points off each other. We've seen this for the last couple seasons, so. Which works well for your Mercedes, but not well necessarily for Lewis being P3.
Yeah.
I went Red Bull, McLaren, and then Ferrari.
I can believe that. My guess is that McLaren's in number 3.
I think McLaren have really started to understand their car. I think they were coming on very quick at the end of the year, and they were challenging the Red Bull on some tracks. So I think the McLaren could be the next most consistent car. And then, honestly, I think you could have put Ferrari or Mercedes at number 4. I put Ferrari because I think they're sticking with a similar concept and understand what's going on. And while the W15 does look a little bit better than the W14 or W13, like, it's still a new concept that they are going to have to come to grips with.
So it'll be 2021 again. It'll take them until halfway through the season to remember how to drive it. Yeah, I can subscribe to your theory, but I'm sticking with mine.
That's fair. So. And I like how neither of us think Aston Martin is going to replicate their 2023 season.
I feel sorry for Fernando.
Do you think they figured out their car? Because that's really what it comes down to. If they figured out how to develop their car, because last year they didn't know what their car was.
I don't know. That's the real open question. Because if they got a handle on it, there's a good opportunity for them. But I still have this feeling that they are not ready to take on to that position yet. I think they've got the money, and I think they've got the people. I don't think they've got the vibe yet.
It's true. Now, let's not forget, Bahrain is on Saturday this year, as well as Saudi. So we can get both of these races out of the way before the start of Ramadan. For us, it's 7 a.m. on Saturday is the opening race.
Qualifying, therefore, is on Friday, right?
Yes. I mean, would you rather it be on Friday at like 7 a.m. or on Saturday at like 2 a.m.
Saturday at 2 a.m.
Okay. Stay up late.
Not stay up late. I can just, then I don't have to worry about like what meetings I'm missing on Friday while staying off the internet. It's difficult.
Meetings. Wait, you have meetings on Friday? That's terrible.
We have no meetings Friday. Doesn't mean people respect it. I spent all day on Friday and no meetings Friday on meetings.
Qualifying is 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time on Friday, March 1st.
I might be able to get away with that if I get up early and like make an effort to get sit down. I can pull off.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be watching the race live because Bahrain predictions, apart from Dominic missing his Friday morning meetings.
You have Max winning by a pit stop. And that Chico still disappoints. I will subscribe to Max winning. I don't think it's going to be quite by a pit stop.
Is that because he's going to pit for soft tires and then set the fastest lap? So then it's technically not within a pit stop because he had a pit stop window?
No.
Okay.
I think it's because the car is going to be really fast, but they're going to ease into winning like that.
I just want to say, just as an asterisk on my prediction, if Max does have a pit stop lead, pits for the fastest lap, my prediction still counts.
I will allow that. That is acceptable.
I said only one Merc in the points.
Which one, though?
The one that's not in the points.
Yes, but which driver?
The opposite of the one that's in the points.
Okay. You're not willing to make a call on that one?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Well, okay, fine. It'll be George out of the points because, to go with my other prediction, he's going to do a turn one lunge that's going to go wrong.
Oh.
And he'll be spinning off the grid somewhere.
Okay. Okay, I subscribe to that. I can believe that that's the case. How far into the points? Unknown?
Points.
Okay, okay.
It's a long season, Dominic. You got to get points where you can get them.
True. One Ferrari car fails at some point post-race start.
And why will it be Charles?
Because it's Charles.
Is this because like Bahrain and Ferrari electronics don't get along?
Correct. And much like Lando doesn't have the best luck, nor does Charles.
Fair enough. Well, we've rambled on for long enough. Shall we do the outro?
We are waiting for your feedback about our wonderful podcast. Please write in to feedback@tinfoilhelmets.com and let us know your conspiracies, your feedback, and your wants. Also, remember to tell your friends to like, rate, and subscribe the best Formula One podcast in the world that's recorded on the Pacific Northwest of America.
I love all the qualifiers. And for those of us that showed up in your Spotify Wrapped, thank you for the text messages. Those were great. We were in some people's Spotify Wrapped as or one of their most listened to podcasts. I saw the messages.
Somebody did text me to say that I think we were number two in the list.
Yeah, we were also number two in one of my friends.
So that's good work. It's good work.